Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should.
Hey folks, welcome back to Guitar Radio Show. Our next guest first appeared on episode 248, with a stirring record called Second Story. He is a highly sought after session musician, and chances are, if you've seen a movie, watched a TV show, heard a commercial, he's probably played on it. His latest project was done completely off the cuff with his compatriots Jack Reed and Sean Hurley. It's a fan.
Jake Reed.
Sorry, Jake, wherever you are. I'm actually subscribing to his Instagram. It's fantastic and has been one of my favorite records all year. It really is. They call themselves Why Dog Why, and I'm going to try and find out why. The record's called Songs Without Music, and we're going to try and find out why. Please welcome back to Guitar Radio Show, Mr. Andrew Sinewick. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, I'm great. Thanks for having me back.
It's nice to have you back. How are things in the House of Sin?
Things are busy in the House of Sin. Yeah, that's what I affectionately call my studio.
Yes. That's good. I'm glad to hear you're busy. That's wonderful. Did you stay busy all the way through pandemic times and all that?
Knock on wood, yeah, I sure did. I've been sort of plugged into working remotely, you know, long before this COVID thing even happened.
Once
it kind of shut down and people started going, well, let's see, maybe we can use Zoom. And then this great program called Audio Movers came about. It almost exploded and kind of, you know, got even busier in some respects.
Yeah. I remember covering that with you last time, and that you were splitting your time between flying stuff in and out of your studio and going out and actually doing studio gigs. So
yeah. It's funny, there's people that live in my neighborhood that won't come over. They just send me files. Nah, you got it. You know what to do. Go over, have a cup of coffee at least.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Yeah. Folks, when you go to the show notes, you'll be able to find the link to episode 248, so you can learn even more and hear some of the tracks from Second Story on there as well. I highly recommend it. It's a great record. So, but let's talk about this. So if Sabbath and Rush said, let's make a baby and have it all be instrumental, and we'll add a little dash of Blue era King Crimson.
Yeah, I like that description.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, you know, in some respects,
great.
You know, except for the guitar solos. They're very you, which I really enjoy.
Cool. I'm glad to hear you say that.
So you guys went into the studio with no songs, and you got four done the first day.
Exactly right. Yep. And we had so much fun. We said, man, let's do this one more time, and we'll have a record out of it. So that's what we did.
It's so cool. It's so cool. It's such a, you know, when I heard it, you know, and the funny thing was, I didn't even know about it until you were talking about doing a gig at the Potato. And
right.
I was like, oh, wait a minute, what is this? So I'm frantically searching through iTunes and everything else, trying to find it. And I find it, and I'm like, and I listen to it, and I immediately sent you a PM saying, come on, please do this. Come on the show. I want to talk about this. Because I sat there.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, well, okay, if you want. I mean, we really just did it kind of for fun. We were all working on another project, and there was kind of one of those group emails like, hey, can it be this 2 days or that 2 days? And, you know, it finally landed, and we all realized, wait, the studio is open that other day. How crazy would it be if we all just kind of went in together and just, I don't know, let's just see what happens. No preconceived notion, nothing composed in advance. You know, I mean, it's a totally ridiculous idea, but like, almost like hearkening back to the kind of garage band days where you would have to go into a real studio, you know, and play in real time.
Oh,
and man, it was just a blast.
And it's,
I think it really helped the spirit of the music not being under, you know, not having some outcome that you were shooting for.
I agree with you, yeah. And you know, and you can hear, and it's a fun record. It's just fun because some of the changes and the riffs, and then the how they change and where the songs go, it's like you go, wow, this is crazy. These left turns are so wild. But the playing is so great. But I think it really speaks to the three of you and your history and session work, as we've spoken in the past. You know, there's often when you go and do a session, there's always the possibility or more of a probability that you're going to be called upon to create something there on the spot.
Right.
You know, so for you, that I think it really speaks to who you guys are, that you were able to go in there with nothing, zero, and just make it all happen like that. That's super cool.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I was thinking, it's like when your buddies are there, it kind of takes the pressure off of like it's not under my name. It's under, I mean, we didn't even have a name, at the time. So you just
right.
go, I don't know, is this cool? And just having even one other person in the room to go, yeah, or no, it sucks. You know, it's just, it makes it go so much faster than, and it takes that pressure off of like, oh, this is like my record and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And the titles are hysterical.
Yeah, we had fun with the song title.
It's
because,
great.
You know, it's like the engineer guys, first song, like, hey, guys, what should I call this? And we're just like, song one. And it's, so then literally we left with these Pro Tools sessions. It was just song one, song two, song three. And then we had fun, you know, naming them.
And were they as random as the whole project? as far as the titles?
Pretty much. I mean, some of the songs, there's one called Infinite Fuzz.
Yeah.
And it's a real slow burn. I think it's the longest song on the record.
Right.
And it's real Sabbath-y. And I don't know, it just popped into my head. And I thought, yeah, that fits that song.
It definitely fits that song. Absolutely. But, you know, songs like Bland Parenthood, Flannel Retentive, that's so Zappa, and yeah. Pocket Full of Kashi.
Yeah.
Freaking love it. It was great.
Well, I was reading that one. Somebody was giving us a hard time saying it sounded like a Spin Doctors song, and they had that record Pocket Full of Kryptonite. It's just, you can't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's what makes this record so much fun. And that's the thing that, you know, so often when somebody goes to record something, it's always, oh, this is so serious. It's got to be this. It's got to be that. It's got to be so serious, you know, and
yeah.
It doesn't have to be. And I think that's comes through in the music. And why I think I enjoy it so much. It's just really just a romp. I love that.
Yeah.
Great. It was funny because when I was, we'll jump around and talk about songs, but when I was listening to that track, Pocket Full of Kashi, I said, okay, like Rush, Chili Peppers, with a little bit of Jeff Lorber in there.
Yeah, wow, that's quite a combination.
Complete with a talk box.
Right.
It's yeah. So crazy. Is now all the gear that you brought for this?
Yeah.
You know, did you bring a lot, or did you just kind of really go in minimalistic with this?
Pretty minimal. I actually kind of brought all the nerdiest, like unhipster, uncool Rigs of Dad type of gear I could bring. Just, you know, again, just trying to really like play up the garage band.
Back up a second.
Rekindling that thing, you know.
Back up again. What did you say? Rigs of what?
Rigs of Dad is an Instagram account that posts, I guess it's kind of like, you know, sarcastic, like, hey, make fun of these guys. But half the time I'm like, wait, I like the BC Rich guitar and that PVM. You know?
So. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's like Tim Henson saying, he calls the Boomer Benz.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's funny.
Oh, my yep. God. Well, the record, you know, it starts out with something that goes on. It's full on Sabbath vibe, track called Altered Ego. It's really great. I was like, wow, what the hell is it? When I first heard it, I was like, what the hell is he doing? This is crazy. And then when Bland Parenthood kicks in, I'm like, oh, okay. Now where are we going? But the track for me that really, and you mentioned it earlier, is Infinite Fuzz. Yes, it's very Sabbath-y and all that, but you're going to think I'm crazy. But the guitar solo on there, honestly, is the best lead break I've heard all year. I swear to God.
Oh, man, thank you.
It is so urgent. It is. I listened to it over and over again. It's so urgent. It's a killer overall sound. The effects, I mean, what you're doing with the Echoplex. It's end of the world guitar playing. You know what I mean? It's like, this is it. It's over, folks. Everybody say, fuck you, see ya. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the vibe I think we were going for. So glad to hear.
Oh, my God. You got to walk me through that signal chain. What was going on there? Because I played it for my gear guy, and we were like, what the fuck is he doing here?
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny. Jake is he's like the social media guru in the band. And so he filmed a lot of it. And I think he actually has some video of us. And so I did that live. And then I underdubbed, I guess you would say, the rhythm part. And I think somehow I was going through, you know, just like a pedal board with some kind of major food group stuff. And I have the Strymon timeline on that board. And, you know, it's one of those things where, so it's a delay pedal, and if you kind of crank up the mix so that you hear a lot of the repeats, but then you kind of mess with the time, it sort of tracks like an Echoplex would. So if you turn the time down, so quicker, it goes up in pitch, and if you turn it, make it longer, it goes down in pitch, and then the repeats, you know, it starts feeding back on itself. So I would kind of play, turn up the delay, that kind of creates a new sound. Now I'm almost like that's a new player, and I'm reacting to that new sound. And then, oh, is it going to overload the input signal? So I turn the delay back down, and then I play a little more, and I turn it back up, and then see what else it has to say. And it's almost like having a conversation mm-hmm. with yourself, you know, in a way, or the technology is kind of pushing you into new places. And I think at the end of that solo, I picked up a slide or something. I mean, it might have literally been like a pencil, because it's kind of like off the fretboard type of stuff.
So it was all, that was really just completely off the cuff, that solo?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, it's fun, to, you know, it's like nobody's going to judge you. Like, there's no one looking at the clock saying, we have, you know, more stuff to get through, good enough kind of thing. So, it's, you know, you just have this, like, freedom of expression, I guess, or taking chances, you know, right. Like, jump off the cliff, and if you, people will catch you or they won't, and you can do it again, either way, you know.
It's like a trust fall.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's a good title for a song. It's so great. I love it. I couldn't wait to ask you about it. What's the fuzz that you're using on there?
Oh man, that would have either been, so I have two pedals called the Experience. They're not the same thing. There's one by Prescription Electronics. I'm looking at it right now, and it's kind of like Jimi Hendrix in a box. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Like an Octafuzz thing. Okay. And then I have another one made by, oh shoot, it's a Greek company. It's like my last name. It's impossible to pronounce. It's called, oh shoot, Tsakalis or something like that. It's Tsakalis.
Hmm.
Audio Works. And it's also called The Experience. And it's kind of similar, like octave fuzz.
Okay.
So probably one of those two pedals for the fuzz sounds.
Okay. It's mm-hmm. killer. It's really good. Is that the same? You're using a different fuzz on Sideways Seesaw, though, right? On that lead break?
Yeah, I would have. I kind of brought like my main big pedal board, and then I just looked around the room. I have something my wife calls the pedal graveyard. and I'll just go, let's see, what's cool in there that I never use? And I just would grab stuff. Like I have something called the Thunderclaw by Mr. Black Pedals,
uh-huh.
which is, I'm not even sure what it's supposed to be, but it's kind of almost like a solid state sounding pedal. Kind of, you know, like definitely not your typical, like, what was it called? Boomer Bend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not that, like the blues lawyer kind of sound. It's something else.
The blues lawyer. Oh my God, that's so offensive.
Yeah, and then sometimes I also use the overdrive channel of the amp. I used a couple of different amps. Rivera made an amp called the M100. They also had the M60, and that thing is just totally insane. It's so good. And so I, like, if I would double something, maybe I would use the amp overdrive on one pass and then a distortion pedal on the second, you know, going clean into the amp. That, and then I have a super geeky Pierce solid state amp from the 90s. And the overdrive channel on that, it's kind of like that FET clipping sound.
Right.
Like some of those Randall amps have that circuit.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the Dimebag sound.
Yeah.
And it has a parametric mid. And so it's really gnarly. Like you can really get some wild sounds out of that.
So wildly saturated.
Yeah.
It's so wild that, you know, we go through this. We think we know where we're going as we listen to this record. Excuse me. But and then... by the time we get to pre-11, we get this fusion sensibility, the Latin midsection, and then Sideways Seesaw. I was like, okay, what the fuck? How do we get here, and why does this make sense?
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, I don't know what you call that.
It's so great. It's so cool. But yet, it all fits together. Somehow or another, when you listen to the record in its entirety, you go, okay, yeah, okay. I understand the musical statement that's going on here. You know,
I think because it's only three of us, and there's really not like a ton of overdubs and crazy ear candy stuff, you know, that, and we were all just kind of allowed to be ourselves. So at least there's that thread, you know, from song to song.
Yeah. That's interesting that you say that, allowed to be yourselves. So, you know, often enough when you, you know, when we do sessions, it's like, okay, I need this. I'm looking for this type of sound. And they may even mention somebody's name. You know, I want you to sound.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you know, that happens all the time. And can you sound a little more Becky? Can you sound a little more, you know, whatever.
Right.
That has got to be a very freeing feeling to just be what you are and do whatever. It's kind of cool. I mean, and I mean, you of course probably felt that way with Second Story as well, right?
Yes and no. I mean, certainly because it's your own record, you can do whatever you want. But I think in that, you know, headspace, you're always going, well, am I going to be, I mean, on the one hand, it was my first record, so I was thinking like, well, how jazzy should it be? How rock should it be? Oh, is this too much? You know, does this sound like some other guitar player that people will compare me to? Is that a bad thing? Or, you know,
right.
And you're thinking about all that, you know, you have this dialogue or monologue, you know, internally running the whole time.
Yeah.
And
well, you don't want to get pigeonholed.
It's like kind of no preconceived notion. So it could kind of be whatever it was. And you know, I'm kind of the metal guy out of the three of us.
Uh-huh.
So we had, you know, like, I'm trying to think. I think actually after we did Infinite Fuzz, I think that was like maybe the sixth or fifth song. I think Sean was like, hey, let's do something a little more. You know, we kind of like went a different direction because maybe he was like not wanting it to be total metal riff rock or something. So that's another cool thing about having it be more of a band is that you get
right.
It's kind of tempered a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Were they as pleased with this as you were? I mean, as you know, were they as pleased?
Yeah. I mean, we all, you know, we got them to a pretty finished state on both days, and then we took them, I think I took the Pro Tool sessions and kind of cleaned them up, just like, because at the time we were just going like, I don't know what this is going to be, and so the engineer was just like, okay, new track, new audio track, you know, guitar, whatever, and there's like, you know, all these kind of disorganized tracks in there, so I sort of went through and like, because that's, I'm a little bit of an OCD control freak, so I was like, let's color code everything and, you know, make sure all the guitars are panned the way I was hearing them and that kind of stuff. And then we took that back to Jake's place, and we all kind of, all in real time, three of us sitting there together went through like, okay, is this done? Maybe we should chop that in half. Let's see, like this? No, forget that idea, you know, for each song went through and kind of did that. So we were all happy.
Yeah. So
I think everybody was pleased with it.
So why did you end up calling yourselves Why Dog Why?
Coming up with a band name is the hardest part of any project.
Right.
Bar none. And I think Sean, you know, again, there was like this text thread going around with song titles and band names. And it's like, no, I want this. It has to be this. Like, no way in hell is it, am I going to allow it to be called that. So finally Sean said, guys, there's this like auto band generator online. I forget what, I think it's, if you Google that, it'll come up, I'm sure. And it's kind of like Mad Libs, you know, it's sort of like these 20 questions, like, what's, give me a word to describe the band. Like, is it loud? Is it soft?
Okay.
Is it gnarly?
Right.
And then, who are the main members or what city? And it's, you know, you go through this whole thing and you press enter and then it spits out like 20 possibilities. And that was one of them. And literally I was like, why dog, why? It's great. So
it is really good. It really is.
But then, of course, we, and I swear, I looked on Spotify, I looked online, I'm like, okay, it's not taken, we're safe. And then as soon as we you know, pulled the trigger and the stuff is out there and Jake's like posting about it, we see people commenting like from the Instagram account, why dog, why, or whatever, you know, the Facebook account, like, hey, this is already in the band. What can you do? I mean, at that point.
That's crazy.
You know, it's out there.
So it's real. So it actually exists.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. I think there's a why dogs why.
Why too. Dogs why. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah. But, you know, so that's why you know, you have to go through and you get everything mixed. You get it mastered. Okay. How do you distribute it? What do we call this thing? I put everyone's name in the song title so that whatever kind of streaming service you're in, or even YouTube, if somebody's searching for, like, oh, I've heard of this Sean Hurley guy, maybe I want to hire him, you know, for better or for worse, it will come up and he's kind of attached to it.
Right.
Versus, you know, no one would find it, you know, potentially, if we didn't put our names
right
in, you know, right up there in the song
title. Right. And when you played The Potato, it wasn't billed as Why Dog Why, was it?
It was on the marquee, and I made a flyer, and we all billed it that way. I think on the Potato website, though, it had my name, and then it just had all of our names.
Right.
I sort of am like the booking contact over there.
Right.
So he hit me up like, hey, want to play one more time, you know, before the year's over?
Mm-hmm.
And the timing worked out. I mean, again, it's just kind of like, hey, want to make some music? Okay, cool. Well, hey, it's pretty good. Should we put it out? Okay. Well, should we do a gig to promote it? Okay. So, you know, and that's kind of how that happened.
I love it. I love it. And yeah. You know, and considering you guys are as busy as you are, to be able to all figure out a way that there's time in each other's schedules to make this happen and be in the same room is amazing.
It was pretty gnarly getting that all together, especially this time of year. You know, it's almost the end of the year now. It's everybody's extra busy, I think. And of course, then we added the challenge. We added Tim Pierce on guitar too, just to cover some, you know, guitar parts. And it's just always great having him play. And you know, it worked out. We got together in a room, and I think we did a couple band rehearsals. Tim and I did a couple of rehearsals where it was like, wait, you're going to play that, I'll play this, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it all worked out.
So,
I tell you, one of the hardest things is having to remember the stuff that, you know, there's no, like, I didn't write a chart because we just kind of wrote it and then played it. So, like, having to remember my own music was the hardest thing. It's like, I never do that. But it was great. You know, I did not make charts. I made myself do it like the old school kid in the garage way.
Right. Listening to the record over and over again.
Yeah, just, you know, memorizing it.
Well, at least you originally wrote it, so that makes it a little bit easier to recall.
Yeah, that's right.
So is this going to be something that's going to happen again, or is this a one-off and we're just all lucky that we got it?
You know, never say never. I mean, it's gone farther than I think any of us ever expected or cared one way or the other about. And of course, now we're like, maybe we should do another one. Who knows? But I don't know. We'll see.
Well,
we'll just do something completely different. The next record will sound, it'll be all acoustic or something.
That would be trippy. That would be trippy. Yeah. All right, cool. So beyond that, we all know that you're such a busy session guy and always working Any cool sessions lately? Anything cool that's happened?
Yeah, I mean, lots of different stuff. Let's see, it's November as we speak, and I think in December there's going to be a movie called Babylon coming out. It was the same crew that did La La Land and Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was good. We did a whole bunch of sessions for that over the last couple of years. So it'd be good to see that, you know, finally come out. They're rebooting The Muppets. I think I'm allowed to say that. So I've been working on that. It's an episodic thing. I think it's on some streaming platform.
Probably Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. And just, you know, all kinds of just every day something different.
So
a bunch of video game projects.
So essentially you're playing guitar in Dr. Teeth's band.
Oh, I don't get the reference.
The band that the Muppets had was Dr. Yeah. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Right, yeah, of course. Well, you know, it's funny, Animal always gets all the love. So
yeah, that's true.
They need to get that guitar player more love.
That's true. I can't remember his name, but I remember the bass player's name. Her name is Janice.
Right.
Total hippie name.
Yeah, see, I need to get up on my Muppets trivia here.
Oh, my God. Well, that's cool. There's all, I mean, and so film, TV, jingles too?
Yeah, the occasional jingle. That stuff has changed so much. It tends to be kind of like in-house. You know, there's music houses that's kind of all they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sure, yeah, the occasional thing. That I work a lot with the Bissonette brothers, you know, Greg Bissonette and Matt.
And Matt, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're kind of plugged into that world. So yeah, we've done a few things.
That's cool. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Has the industry changed a whole lot since COVID as far as studio? I know it has. You know, it's interesting because I talk to a lot of live performers who are out there touring, and they're talking about tours being canceled, and then and then with inflation, the gas going up, and tours being completely shut down because of it, because they just can't afford to be on the road. How is the pandemic and the fallout or the aftermath of that affected the studio biz?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I only look at it through my own little window here. I think we were talking before we got started rolling. In a way, it sort of got busier for me because there might have been some holdouts that were like, no, I don't know about working remotely. I'm not sure if that's possible. But when they were forced to do it, I think it, you know, people kind of got over any hesitation they had. Mm-hmm. So, like now, if anything, there's more stuff where it's remotes. I use a program called Audio Movers. So, like, usually what I do is I have Zoom for visual feedback, and I can hear the composer or the producer telling me, yes, I like that, no, I don't like that. And then in Pro Tools, I have this program running that basically just broadcasts a stream to a web browser, and they can hear what I'm doing, like a really clean signal from Pro Tools in essentially real time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's been life changing. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. It sounds so good, and it's very close to being in the room with someone. And it took me a while, but now I have a template set up where everything's kind of automated, so there's a talk back, and then when I hit the space bar to run Pro Tools, everything gets muted, so there's no weird delay or anything like that. And then as soon as I stop playing Pro Tools, talk back opens up again, and everybody can hear each other. So it's pretty great. It's more work for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like as if we weren't already wearing enough hats. You know, I'm playing, I'm reading the part, I'm playing the guitar, I'm engineering, and now I'm making sure that's all working out okay too.
Right.
But you know, I mean, hey, it's great. It's certainly was a boost through COVID to have that technology, and mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm always a big fan of being in the room with human beings.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just nothing like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I don't want to be riding my horse and buggy here, so you got to change with the times.
Oh, yeah, you do. You have to adapt. It's adapt or die, for sure. With that program, is there much in the way of latency?
Yeah, there is. There's some latency, but it's very low. So, I mean, you're not playing with other musicians, but it's essentially like a phone call in a way.
Right.
So it's not automatic. Sometimes you talk over each other, but once you know, people figure out their rhythm pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty great. And you know, I have Zoom on a separate machine that comes into Pro Tools, so that I'm not hearing that person's audio feed, so it's not interrupting what I'm hearing mm-hmm. when I'm recording.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll just tell people, like, hey, if this is totally terrible and not the right direction, just wave your hands, because I can't hear you talking until I stop Pro Tools.
Right. Okay.
But people, you know, I mean, most people are way more into technology than I am, so they seem to pick up on it really quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned in our PMs that there's another solo record coming next year?
Yeah, definitely. It's done. I did end of the summer up at Jim Scott's place. He was Rick Rubin's right-hand man,
mm-hmm.
and then he built his own room. I mean, it's not a room. It's like this insane warehouse, like wonderland of ancient and cool gear. And it's, you know, everything's kind of wired and ready to go. And it's a little bit outside of town, so it almost feels like a destination recording
mm-hmm.
type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's, it's kind of like a continuation of Second Story, you know, in that world. And we spent 2 days up there and got, I think, 12 songs. So now it's just a matter of choosing which take of which song and then figuring out from there, is it a 12 song record or is it a 6 song, 2 EPs, or is it, you know, not mm-hmm. really sure. Mm-hmm. I like to, whenever I can, and certainly there's no deadline for this type of stuff, so it's just kind of whenever it works out for me to do it. Whenever I can, I like to give myself a lot of space between the actual recording of it, and then, you know, it's like almost tricking yourself into listening like a independent third party. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I really like to have that space to where I can kind of like forget about, oh, I felt bad when I played that thing, and you're like almost like letting go of all that stuff and just being really as objective as possible.
Right. No, I totally get that.
Yeah. I feel like for me, like, time is kind of the best way to do that.
No, I couldn't agree more. Whenever I track something, if I can, like something of my own, I finish it and I go, oh, that sounds really good. Okay, cool. I'm pretty happy with that. I'll walk away. Okay, let me shut it down, and I'll come back and listen to it, you know, maybe a day or two or maybe a week later. And invariably, I end up going, well, that sucks.
Yeah. And I know there was, you know, like we did maybe 3 or 4 takes of each song. And I can remember for sure on the day being like, okay, take 2 was the winner, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going through it here and there a little bit, and you open it up and go, oh, actually, no, take 3 was great. It was just the ending that was good. I think I can put the ending of 2 on the mm-hmm. rest of 3. Let me see. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I am on that. And the other thing is it's really, you know, I don't want to do that stuff after I've been already sitting in a chair for 9 hours.
Sure.
Going, no, do it again. Slower, faster, you know, higher, you know.
Yeah.
How was the tuning? It's like, you know, it's hard to then come back like excited and refreshed after doing that all day long then come into the same room that night and do it again on my own stuff. So, you know, like I said, I'm just taking time and, you know, doing it right, basically. Cause
well, you also have to, don't you also have to, I mean, just take a break just from ear fatigue?
I monitor really quietly when I can,
mm-hmm.
so that's less of an issue. But And sometimes I do find that, like, you know, if I'm working on something totally different, and then I mean, again, like with Why Dog Why, it's like the jarringness of it is actually kind of a good thing, because it's like you start to really see, oh, this is like the meat of this thing is really, you know, X or whatever.
Yeah.
Sort of highlights what the heart and soul of the thing is. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, 180 degrees from what you had just been thinking about and working on.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay.
So that's probably the first thing that's on my radar in terms of artistic projects. But I actually did four in the last 12 months.
Whoa.
So, yes.
When is this all going to see the light of day?
That's an excellent question. Well, I mean, as soon as possible. But, you know, the other thing is you want to kind of space things out so that they're not on top of each other.
Sure.
I did another project. It's kind of a band. It's an organ trio. Ooh. With the great drummer John J.R. Robinson and a great B3 player named Mitch Town. And that record is done. And next year we're going to be promoting it quite a bit. So, you know, I sort of want to not have my thing coming out right when that is.
Sure.
So we'll have to see how to space everything out.
Wow, that's exciting. I love organ trios. I love that.
Yeah. This is pretty wild. It's kind of everything from Booker T and the MGs to like Tony Williams' Lifetime.
Right. Have you heard this? There's an organ trio just came out with a record over the year in Chicago called Rippin' Chicken.
No, I like the name.
And it's killer. I'll send you a link. It's killer. Great stuff.
Cool. I'm looking it up.
and there's no ing. It says Rippin', as in Rippin' Chicken.
Right.
Definitely one of my favorite records across the year too. Really good record.
Cool.
What have you been listening to as far as like for enjoyment? Is there any new artists or any music that you've been listening to that you like has?
Oh man, this is such a tough question.
Yeah.
Because again, there's like, you know, there's the politically correct answer and then there's the real answer, you know? I've sort of like when I'm not working, a lot of times I'm either listening to podcasts,
uh-huh.
like music podcasts. I'm a big podcast junkie, or I'm listening to, I'm kind of trying to rekindle that kid in the garage. So I'm listening to like stuff that I've probably listened to, you know, from about 15 to 25 or something like that, you know, that
right.
critical window, or going back and checking out stuff that I missed. And also trying to stay current. You know, a lot of times people, well, like you just said, Rippin' Chicken. So now I'll go and listen to that. I'll make myself a little playlist.
Yeah, they just did one record. That was it. And it's, I'm trying to remember now. Hang on, let me pull it up. It's been really interesting since the pandemic. The type of music and the amount of music that's come out. This is with Ben Bloom on guitar, this Rippin' Chicken. Ben Bloom and Delvin Lamar and Ollie Klump on drums and B3. The music that's come out over the last 2 years now, since everybody was in lockdown and a lot of people were really just doing a lot of woodshedding and a lot of recording and stuff like that, it's been really interesting. The last couple of years of the music that's come out has been really satisfying. Do you agree with that? Or
yeah, I mean, there's certainly been some creative stuff coming out, and I know like instrument sales are supposedly still through the roof,
they
which
are.
Is great, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if people actually put down their devices and picked up some organic material to play with.
Yeah, absolutely. And also go to a show,
yeah.
see the band, buy the merch, and also you know, buy the record too. That would be great. I mean, it's been really good. I've been really, really, really like, you know, I do a top 20 at the end of every year of the records that have really stood out. And it's such a wild menagerie. It's such a potpourri of all this different stuff from, you know, from artists from long ago who've put out new records, new artists, you know, rock artists, jazz artists, a lot more really cool rock too, which has been really great. Like, you know, I've been really surprised by it and delighted, you know?
Yeah. That's great. I mean, I think I just saw somewhere that, like, maybe not on Billboard, but on streaming, if you look at the numbers that, you know, whatever you want to call it, music with human beings making it, you know, is actually much more popular than it gets credit for. So that's good to see.
That is a good thing. All right. Well, look. This record is great. I think it's amazing. You guys did a fantastic job to just put it together the way that you did and share. You really kind of just shared a whole lot of fun with us, which I really appreciate. I really dig it a lot.
That was the goal. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And I hope there'll be more from Why Dog Why. I like just saying it.
Well, I can tell you the three of us, we make lots of music together, so we will definitely be making more music, you know, in one fashion or the other. Mm-hmm. All the time, yeah.
So the Oregon Trio thing, is that going to be the next thing that comes out to your mind?
Probably. It's not totally my call, because there's three of us, but I think that's going to be probably the thing, and I'll tease that I think there's going to be some Midwest dates in maybe February, which is coming up, and then hopefully some East Coast dates in the summer. So.
Oh wow! So that record will be coming out before those dates, or
it's a little bit of a mystery.
Okay.
So yeah, we're trying to, you know, navigate the uncharted waters of today's music business and kind of come up with a good plan there, because it's sort of the gigs kind of came in and we're like, oh well, what should we do? Do we scramble to get the record out, or do we? I think we have a plan in place. So
okay, well, please,
yeah, if you follow my socials, which yep. You know, I'm terrible at, but I will post gigs and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And releases.
Yeah, I want to know when that record comes out. I really want to hear it. I love that type of
thing. Yeah, it's a fun listen. I'll get you an advance copy.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. Sir, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with me today. I know you're super busy. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for doing this. I love listening. It's really a treat.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And, you know, anytime you want to come here, you always have a mic available to you.
Love it. I definitely will.
All right, man. You hold on 1 second, but we're going to sign off right here. We're going to go out with the track Infinite Fuzz from Why Dog Why.
Check out Guitar Radio Show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, guitarradioshow.com, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Find Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And remember, if you like the artists you hear on Guitar Radio Show, don't just stream their music, buy it.
GRS Productions. Geppetto Pickups, GeppettoGuitars.com. Guitar players are always searching for the tone that will define their playing identity. Geppetto Pickups' wide spectrum of tones and sonic colors inspire and instill a newfound confidence in the player that comes from having amazing tone. Go to GeppettoGuitars.com. We'll give your guitar its voice, but you'll make it sing.